never let you down. I'ma shine on sight. Keep your mind on your grind and off of mine's alright. Hard, I'ma ball, don't know squares. I float a $250,000 cars everywhere I go. I know in the lead it may seem me might be, but no matter what they doing, they don't do it like me. Like a G, I hold it down for the town I'm at.
Yes, we are back. Welcome to another edition of Urban Sports Scene. I'm your host, Ray Rogers, and this is the Barry Bonds of Radio, because we getting bigger, stronger, quicker than ever. You know, we on iTunes, Twitter, YouTube, you name it, we there. We going to let y'all know later on the show, you know, where we are and how you can reach us. You know, we going to give y'all that email address as usual. But anyway, I'm joined as usual by my partners in crime, the well-dressed Will T. Shorter.
What's going on?
The best assistant coach in the nation, Wally Akinzo.
Hello.
And back after... Back after a one-show hiatus, you know, he was let go out of prison or whatever, wherever you were. Jeff Fish Walters. What's happening, dog? Oh, yeah, that song was a dedication to him. Anyway, you know, there's a lot of star power on this set, man. We got 5 fantasy football championships and, like, 7 title game appearances, right? I'm serious, though, but, I mean, you know, we're going to see where y'all at out there because later on in the year we're going to have a fantasy football urban sports scene versus everybody else out there. So anyway, but from these champions sitting right here, let's talk about another champion. And I'm speaking of the domination of Mayweather this weekend over Shane Mosley. What y'all think about that, man? I didn't actually see the fight, so I can't comment.
He did what I told y'all he was going to do. From the third round on, he put his foot on the gas and he dominated Mosley. The first 2 rounds, Mosley looked impressive, but it looked like he turned 38. He looked like he turned from 28 to 38 when the third round started.
Man, all I know is Mosley showed up with his 20-year-old son. If you got a 20-year-old son, you shouldn't be fighting anyway. But to me, the fight was pretty boring. I mean, it was only good for about 3 rounds. I mean, one thing I can say Mayweather did is he showed more aggressiveness in this fight, I guess as a preparation for it, if he fights Pacquiao, because all that defense is going to really – he's going to really need some offense with that defense if he ever fights Pacquiao. But I thought the fight was pretty boring myself.
It just seemed – when Mosley gave Mayweather his best shot, after Mayweather didn't go down, Cuz was done. Mentally, he was just done.
Well, I also think Mosley kind of choked a little bit, because remember after the fight, he was talking about he's tight. And I'm like, you're supposed to be a veteran fighter. How are you getting tight and getting nervous?
He fought tight.
Yeah. He fought tight because he saw Floyd's speed and his hand power, man. Every time Mosley tried to put combination together, Floyd would pick him off, man. That's why the dude's one of the best, man.
He was bobbing around like he was slow.
That too. I think he also showed his age a little bit, but at the same time, Mosley should have realized that, hey, this is pretty much my last fight. I might as well go all out and do everything I can to try to knock Floyd out.
I don't want people to act like, you know, in terms of Mayweather, to be like, okay, you know, Mosley's old. That's why Mayweather dominated the fight. Mosley beat what's his cousin?
Margarita.
Mosley beat Margarita.
Yeah.
And he didn't look old then. He just fought a better fighter. That's the only thing.
I think that's true. But he did say after the fight that going for the knockout kind of drained him.
Well, the other thing was that Mosley kind of overtrained a little bit, because he wasn't even the original choice for this fight. Because remember,
he was supposed to
fight someone else. He was supposed to fight Berto, but because of the situation in Haiti, he had to stall a little bit, so he pretty much drained himself at his age and overtraining. I mean, you can see the effects of that right there. But as far as, you know, the fight, I mean, me personally, I thought it was a boring fight, but I also think that this fight also set up the Pacquiao fight. That this is a fight that I think everyone really wants to see.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, today Manny Pacquiao made some news. He came out and said that he's willing to, you know, do some blood testing as far as 14 days before the fight. I know before he was... Now, I think 28 days, was that what he said before?
24 days,
what he said? Okay, yeah, he came out and said that. I think that's something that's workable. They can get that done. I mean, potentially, that's the fight everybody wants to see. And boxing, I think, needs that. What y'all think?
I think if Manny Pacquiao wasn't dirty, he would take the test all the way up until 7 days before the fight. But obviously, if you didn't have anything to hide, then you wouldn't make such a fuss over the drug test. Now, I'm not saying that Floyd Mayweather is the most moral person or anything, but you got to respect what he's doing. He's trying to clean up the sport.
Is he? Is he, or he's just trying to get paid or avoid a fighter? To me personally, you can use whatever drug in the world. At the end of the day, you need a lot to throw them hands, and that's it. So as far as whatever drugs Floyd thinks Pacquiao's taking, I mean, I think it's mostly a ploy to build up the fight even more. But at the end of the day, if you can throw some hands, you can throw some hands. And that's the thing that everyone wants to see right now.
Well, Floyd is really worried about his legacy, though. I mean, he really doesn't want to lose a fight. As we're going to talk about a little later, he thinks he's the best fighter ever. I mean, and he mentioned that before. He said, I'm not trying to go in here and get knocked out by anybody, you know, that is probably on drugs, juice. And he mentioned that in regards to Mosley as well.
Well, I don't want to get too far off, but the one thing that used to was getting me during the fight was how Floyd kept mentioning Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. I didn't know Hall of Fame was that big in boxing right now.
Yeah, but it's a huge accomplishment, man, to be a Hall of Fame boxer.
When did they have the induction ceremonies? I mean, does he get a bust or something? I mean, is it in Canton? Where's that at?
He goes. Where's that exactly? It's in New York. It's in upstate New York. He goes in with the rest of the greats, man, like Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson, Ray Leonard. You know, the dude is one of the best of his time. People make such a big argument that he hasn't fought anyone, but he's fought everyone that was in his... He's fought the people that's in his era and all the people that have been put in front of him. He's won 41 straight fights.
Well, that too, but at the same time, I mean, we'll see what Floyd can do in his next fight. But as far as Mosley, what do y'all think Mosley is now? Where do you think he's going to be at in his career?
Mosley's towards the end. He's toward the end of his fighting career.
Why would you say that?
I just don't... He's 38 years old. Now, granted, you know, he's still one of the top echelon fighters, but I don't think that at this point in his career that he can, a lot of the youngsters coming up, that he can win against.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he's done. I think it showed. I mean, Floyd make a lot of people look bad, but dog, you know, Mosley, I think, is done. He got some contacts to try to make himself look a little younger, but his speech isn't there.
What's up with his nose?
Yeah, that Bama got all...
That nose is terrible. It's like squished in.
When did that Bama get all tatted up?
He got a nose job, man.
What is that?
He still got his curl, though. That's a good thing. But he got all tatted up like he been locked up. I mean, what was up with that?
His wife took a lot from him, man. Yeah. He got divorced.
I know. That's why he's still fighting. But, man, he should have did an OJ thing.
Well, anyway, we all consensus that he's done. But, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk, like we've been talking about all along, Mayweather, who thinks he's the greatest fighter ever. Some people here think he is. Some people don't. We'll talk to you when we come back.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge, when we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Brace yourself for the main event. Y'all impatiently waiting. It's like an AIDS test. What's the results? Not positive. Who's the best? Pac, Nas, and Big. Ain't no best. East, West, North, South, floor style greeting. I embrace y'all with napalm.
All right, we are back, and we still talking fights. We talking Floyd Mayweather. I had a chance last week prior to the fight to watch an interview with Jim Rome on ESPN. Floyd Mayweather had some interesting comments, and here they are. We're going to play them for you.
Floyd, it sounds like you're putting yourself number one. Would you put yourself in front of Muhammad Ali, Ray Robinson, ahead of guys like that?
I have to.
Why do you have to?
I mean,
instead of Muhammad Ali or Sugar Ray Robinson?
I mean, why Muhammad Ali and not me?
Muhammad Ali.
I didn't live in his ear.
Wait, are you basing that on pay-per-view numbers or body
work? I have to base it on pay-per-view numbers. Muhammad Ali fought Ken Norton. He really lost all three times to Ken Norton. He lost to Leon Spinks, who Leon Spinks beat Ali when he had seven fights, and Ali never even threw no body punches.
Yeah, I think the only thing working. I think you're a Hall of Famer. I think you're one of the best. I think the only thing working against you in that argument is quality of opposition. You're unbeaten. You've beaten everybody put in front of you.
Just because I'm Floyd Mayweather and I didn't lay on a punishment. There's nothing cool about laying on the ropes, taking punishment, and then coming back and fighting the guy. What's so great about my career is I went out there and done it in great form, in great fashion.
Now, I think
I didn't live in nobody else's
I don't think
in my
you
era,
should be. No, what I'm saying.
I dominated.
No, I don't think you should be penalized. I don't think you should take two to give one. I think you're a great defensive fighter. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if we're going to argue about the greatest fighter of all time, the one thing that would probably keep you from getting that spot is quality of opposition.
Okay, what's so great about those fighters back then? What's so great about them? That's not good and great about these fighters now.
I think that when we're talking about historically the greatest fighters of all time, Muhammad Ali, who he fought, what he accomplished, what he brought
to
the table.
Like that he fought Kendo and he lost all three times. And what else?
That he came off the ropes, Spinks, beat George Foreman inside the air, when nobody gave him that chance in that fight. Frazier, the Hall of Famer,
they don't give me no chance, no credit, and no fights.
What's that?
But Jim, you're entitled to your own opinion. This is something that I know, and like I said before, I fight for me and I fight for my family, and of course I always want to entertain the fans and put on a show for the fans. But like I said before, I know deep in my heart that I'm the best.
Yeah, now
no matter what nobody say.
Yeah, look,
you feel like you're the best commentator. But like I said, stats don't lie.
Stats don't lie. If you didn't fight this fight and then were to stop right now, I couldn't put you number one, Floyd. But you got a fight left. And if you have a fight after this fight, and this fight's with Pacquiao, we could have a very different argument. So if you win this fight, is that second fight still going to happen?
I'm not worried about that. This is what I do. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Only thing I can do is say, an opinion is like an asshole. Everybody got one.
All right. Now, after this weekend, I'm not going to lie, my opinion changed on this whole thing because Floyd looked great this weekend, and I think he is in discussion for one of the greatest fighters of all time, but I just felt like he was a tad disrespectful when he was talking about Muhammad Ali and how he got, beat by Norton and all these other things. I think, he needs to respect the greats of the game. LeBron in basketball respects the greats, even though I think in his mind he may think he's better than some of them. So I think there was a lack of respect. What do y'all think?
I mean, how was it disrespectful him bringing up Muhammad Ali's losses? He's talking facts. He's not talking fiction. He's not talking bad about Muhammad Ali, what he did in the ring. He was just talking facts.
I think it was just the way he went about it, which is, the way he went about it made it look more disrespectful than being just kind of arrogant or cocky. I mean, we're talking about one of the arguably the greatest fighter, if not even fighter, greatest sports figure in sports history. I mean, he's up there. I mean, it's somewhere in that top three as far as not only just sports figures, just icons of not only black people, but of, people of color in general for what he did. But I felt like Floyd, he likes to show that cocky and arrogance side, which I think all he does is just try to put on an image of what he's probably really not.
I mean, people respect cocky and arrogant. Look at the pay-per-view numbers he does. Look at the gate he does.
He sells. He's doing his job to sell tickets. I mean, you can't knock him. That's what you're supposed to do in fighting.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, we don't actually. I don't think me personally. I don't think anyone here at this table actually knows Floyd Mayweather personally. So that may just be a public persona he's putting on around fight time to sell tickets.
Didn't we see him at a craft table once? I don't know.
I think so.
I thought we seen him at the craft table once.
I
thought he was bigger than what he was.
We saw him, but we didn't actually. We don't know him.
But just like anything, you to build your argument, you're going to put out facts. So he might did it his way, but he put up some interesting facts. It's hard when you're undefeated. Obviously, people are going to say you didn't fight anybody. But, I mean, everybody you put up against him, he knocks down. I remember when he fought Ricky Hatton, everybody said, oh, Ricky Hatton is the one. He's going to knock out Mayweather. Now Ricky Hatton's a nobody.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying now he's a nobody. Okay, Sugar Shane Mosley, now we're hearing he's old. I mean, when it comes to a point where, actually when you – I mean, when you're that good, you're going to pretty much beat almost anybody that comes to your table. And and Mayweather is definitely a Hall of Famer. And honestly, he has some right to say that, yeah, I'm better than Muhammad Ali. I haven't lost. I'm perfect.
Well, the one thing we would like probably see from Floyd is that major fight, and that major fight would be the Pacquiao fight. You need at least that one major fight in your career in boxing to showcase your talent. Yeah. We had Ali, Frazier, you had the 80s with, Sugar Ray Leonard and Hagler and all those guys. So you definitely, if Floyd wants to put his stamp as being the greatest, he needs that one signature fight. Yeah. And that one signature fight would have to be the Pacquiao fight.
No, I agree. I think that, I mean, I'm a Pacquiao fan, but I think that Mayweather is just that skilled of a boxer. I think he studies his opponent. He finds that weakness and he goes at it. So my whole thing now is like, okay, if Mayweather beats Pacquiao, what's going to be the new excuse?
My thing with Pacquiao is people say that Floyd handpicks his opponent, but if you look at Pacquiao's last five fights, with the exception of Marquez, all of the guys have been fighters that come straight forward, really aren't the best technical defensive fighters, and they throw a lot of wide looping punches. So to that effect, I think Pacquiao, for the most part, has handpicked his opponents. I think that if and when this fight between him and Floyd Mayweather goes down, it will cement Mayweather's legacy as being one of the top fighters of just our time. And it'll get him, and people will have to respect him. If you don't respect him after the way he systematically took apart Mosley, then you'll respect him after he beats Pacquiao. But then there'll always be someone that says, well, Pacquiao was littler than him. He was a smaller fighter. Okay. So people always want to have their excuses.
Well, my thing with Pacquiao is that you know, with Pacquiao, to his credit, anybody that's hot at the time or whatever, he fights him. You know, he fights that hot person. The people that Mayweather might so-called dodge, Pacquiao's going to take them on.
Well, let me ask y'all this then. Where would you rank Floyd at as far as fighters then? Where would you rank him at?
At the present time or all time?
At both. At present time, we know he's top. At present time, he's top one or two. I mean, you can't really argue that, but at all time.
At present time, just present, he's 1A, 1B. Because Pacquiao is right there.
Nah,
you can say whatever you want to say.
It's only one number one.
Look, Pat Man's numbers speak volume.
What are his numbers? What numbers are you talking about?
Knockouts. Well,
people don't get the distinction with boxing. Boxing is called, that's why it's called the sweet science. You hit and you don't get hit, and Floyd is the master at doing that. If you want knockouts, then you go watch MMA.
Floyd is the best right now.
MMA. Well, boxing, I mean, boxing's a sport where everyone's opinion for who's the best will always be different. It's not that type of sport where it's a clear number one. It's an opinionated sport. But right now, I mean, where would you rank Floyd? Do you think Floyd's better than Sugar Ray and the fighters of the 80s?
That's a good question.
You know what?
I think he is better than Ray Leonard. But I will say this about Ray Leonard. I think that Ray Leonard was a more crowd pleasing fighter, because during the championship rounds, the 10th, 11th, and 12th round, Ray Leonard would put his foot on the pedal and would go for the knockout when he know he has his opponent.
And he'll turn it on at the end of a round.
Which will
catch the judge's eye. But I mean, to me personally, I think if Floyd would have fought the people in that weight class during the '80s, the prime years of '80s, I mean, I think Floyd would have been the middle of the road fighter. Because we're talking Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, Hagler, Hearns. I mean, those are a lot of people to fight. So I mean, where he would rank at between them, I think Floyd probably would have won a world championship, but I don't think he'd have been undefeated.
I mean, you made a great point. During the 80s and Ray Leonard's time, he had a lot more publicly noted opponents that were more respected in the welterweight.
I agree.
And the middle in the middleweight division. The thing with Floyd right now, and like people said about Roy Jones, they beat everyone put in front of them. They can't. You can't discard who they beat, and they can't be at a disadvantage when you're judging them because of the level of opposition they faded during their era.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're talking about, well, that's how boxing is. I mean, boxing is a sport where it's like that. So I mean, that's how boxing is. So I mean, Ray, you're a boxing fan. What you think?
I mean, right now, I think it's hands down. The resume speaks for itself, man. ESPN is calling, is trying to offer us deals still. I told y'all about that a couple weeks ago. AOL Fan House hit us up yesterday. Anyway, pardon the interruption, but this is not that show. This is a better show. Y'all can go tell them that, too. We can debate them. Anyway, I think right now he's the best fighter. I do like Bernard, I'm not going to lie, but that's a whole different weight class. And, I mean, I'm not the boxing expert, actually, but numbers don't lie. But while he was out there fighting, Chili was sitting at the table waiting for him. I don't know if y'all seen that on the reality show, but Chili, I'll pick you up, baby. Anyway, we gotta take a commercial break. It was a clear
black night. What's up? This is Warren G. You know what I'm saying? I'm here giving it up for Rad because they do a lot of good things for people. Before you drink, make sure that you got somebody that can drive your butt home so you won't crash or get pulled over and get a DUI. So go ahead and follow the rules and everything will be cool. And don't be no fools. Peace, baby. Warren G.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We taking over.
Yes, and we're back, and we are taking over again. We are everywhere. We on Twitter, iTunes, YouTube, Podbeam. We also have an email address that you can hit us up at to contact us. Let us know what you think, your thoughts, concerns, questions. With the email, Wally?
change.da.game6@gmail.com.
That's an improvement over last week.
You dance kid, because I've been practicing.
Say it again then. Go ahead.
change.da.game6@gmail.com.
What's the email, Fish? We're going to ask everybody.
change.da.game6. Final 7 game MVP.
Final Fantasy.
At Gmail. Black Planet, AOL.
Black Planet, damn.
Took it way back.
You can get them free minutes coming in the mail if you need to.
Does that still happen?
Somebody using them.
Somebody. Anyway, man, please hit us up. We definitely love the feedback. Y'all going to hear some of the feedback we got so far. It's very, very interesting, to say the least. But anyway, we talking NBA playoffs now, man. We changing gears from boxing. And last night, man, I was impressed with the Boston Celtics. We also, since last show, didn't get a chance to touch on the Mavericks being put out the playoffs. It was somebody here that said, Oklahoma's going to win the series. You know, I'm predicting it. Also, it's 7 games, you know, that Dallas is going to take San Antonio. None of that happened, man. Are we as good as we say we are? And I didn't say none of these things.
I said Denver, actually.
I'm talking about Will. I wasn't talking about you, though.
Oh, bad. I thought you were trying to call me.
See, he got a conscience. Well, he was wrong about Denver as well. He said that was going 7. So right now we're wrong in this train. But hey, this is a good show. Hit us up at email. What's the email address, Fish?
change.da.game6@gmail.com.
All right, since you did such a good job, man, go ahead. Let's hear your NBA thoughts.
For me? The Mavericks, I mean, should that come in shocking?
For me?
I mean, we talking about the Mavericks here. I mean, it should have been shocking that they got about the playoffs. I mean, Dirk, he did his thing, but at the same time,
they lost to the senior citizens.
It should never come as a shock when they're in the playoffs.
Your team is as strong as your leader. Dirk is your leader. That's what happened.
Will T said it last show. Are you piggybacking again, though?
No, we're piggybacking. Uh-huh. I'm saying, basically, I mean, we seen it with the Golden State Warriors and whatnot when they took him out a couple years ago. So, I mean, Dirk is...
But this is a different team. We talking Caron Butler, who brought an added dimension to the team. He could shoot.
He brought a toughness to the team, but he didn't bring a necessary personality.
He spread the floor out. J.J. Barea, I like him off the bench. Who was the backup point guard back then? Do y'all remember?
Was it Jason Terry?
Jason Terry?
He was backup. Who was starter then? It wasn't Kidd. They didn't have Kidd when they lost to Golden State.
When they go out to Golden State a couple years ago?
Yeah, who was the point guard?
He was a star. Yeah, Jason Terry. No, it was Jason Terry and
Devin Harris.
I like Devin Harris. Okay, well, I'm wrong now. So, what you got to say, Will?
Basically, the Mavericks will always be choking dogs as long as Dirk Nowitzki is their superstar.
Always player. Is a strong word. It's you always make always, definitive statements.
Always, because I'm a defender. I know what I like, and I'm...
You don't know what you want to say right now.
I'm a man that speaks his mind. They will always be choking dogs as long as Dirk Nowitzki is their leader.
Well, he might not reach
out. Teams take on the personality of their leader. You look at teams that win championships like the Bulls with Jordan. You think about the Spurs with...
Jordan comment.
You think about the Spurs with Duncan. You think about the Lakers with Kobe. They all took on an aggressive personality, and their leaders had...
Duncan is aggressive?
He's a quiet, confident guy. He has an aggressive personality.
Absolutely.
When he's on the court.
I think their owner brings him back, karma. I think Mark Cuban needs to shut the hell up sometimes. Because he should know he's not the biggest thing in Dallas. So just play second fiddle
your position. That's not going to happen today.
But at the same time, what we need is talking about LeBron's MVP.
Then, Ray, you said something about Dirk Nowitzki might not be coming back to Dallas?
Well, he's a free agent, am I right?
Yeah.
So, right now, he said he's undecided. I mean, it's a chance that he may not come back. He may want to go sign in New York with LeBron, who knows, to get a ring. Because he might not be, like y'all said, that lead player that Dallas wants him to be. So, if he's playing starter LeBron, I mean, can you imagine him and LeBron being on the same team? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it would, nobody is even talking about him. Everybody's talking about Chris Bosh, D-Wade, who, you know, they were also eliminated last week, but that was a boring series. But, yeah, we're going to talk about LeBron being MVP. You know, which was interesting. We're going to get to their playoff game as well. But he did an interview with Magic Johnson over the weekend. Not just with Magic Johnson, but him and Magic Johnson, when they were talking, Magic said that LeBron is the best player and that, you know, Dr. J passed it on to him and Larry and him passed it on to MJ. MJ passed it on to Shaq and Kobe. And now to him, I heard an interesting thought of one person that I won't name on the air, but this individual said that Magic did that just to motivate Kobe. He didn't do that to really tell LeBron he was the best player. But LeBron seemed humble when Magic said that. But what y'all think about him getting MVP? It was deserving to me. I mean, it was hands down.
I don't know about hands down. Because to me, I think Kevin Durant could have got more votes than what he got.
Exactly. I agree with you, Fish.
But also, I think that LeBron's status is always going to put him in a MVP race every year.
How can you not give it to a walking triple-double?
Did he average?
No.
Basically a walking triple-double.
And Magic said something about that, too.
He's basically a walking triple-double. If you round him up, he's almost a walking triple.
No, he is the MVP, though, because Durant, I like Durant. If you take Durant off that team, Durant was injured. I don't have the stat with me, but he was injured. And they're just a young, exciting team. I mean, they play hard every night regardless. But to me, Cleveland lacks swagger without LeBron. They lack, you know, everything. He set out the end of the season. Mo Williams did step up. I will say that. But I think they finished 1-3 in the four games he set out. Go ahead, y'all.
I mean, if you think about for LeBron, he does it all. He plays defense, too. KD's D is not even there yet.
I mean, KD can be that. We're not saying that LeBron didn't deserve it. We're just saying that, me personally, I think that Kevin Durant deserved a little bit more recognition for the season that he had. I'm not saying LeBron didn't deserve it. I'm just saying KD, he deserved more votes than what he got. I mean, you really can't. I mean, he went through a stretch where he was putting up 20-point games for like a couple months every night. But at the same time, I think LeBron, he's reached that status of he pretty much, if he wanted to, he can get MVP every year.
Also, what's going to hurt KD is he plays in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Who the hell watches games in Oklahoma City?
Who the hell watches games in Cleveland for real?
It's nothing but factories.
I got Ray Cash and CD. I mean, it's something more than Cleveland.
Bone Thugs and Harmony. East 99. We
Craig
had
Elo was like their superstar back then.
Mark Price, actually.
Actually, we know that, but you know what I mean.
Have y'all seen Brad Doherty's NASCAR team? Are you serious?
He's on Showtime now doing NASCAR. Here.
They had Larry Nance. Larry Nance was like 70 playing
with
John
Hot Rod Williams.
Hot Rod, I liked him, but he played for the Bullets, matter of fact.
Man, you had Mark Price, had everybody.
Yeah, Mark Price,
I know, and we had Brent Price here in the D.C. area.
Was that a good thing when y'all always get the little brother? Is that really a good thing here? Y'all had Harvey. He couldn't deliver like Horace.
All Washington teams. We had Byron Leftwich.
Hey, but I mean, let's not get too far, Trey. LeBron deservingly was MVP. We don't know necessarily on this set here if it was hands down, but like Mark Jackson says, hand down, man down, baby. I don't know what that means. And he also last night said, "Yeah, what was that about?" Anyway, man, we got to blow up. They got some bad people in media right now. Why are we sitting here? You know, but we are blowing up, man. Again, y'all can reach us in many different levels right now. But we're gonna move on. I do want to take a quick side note because I'm looking at our production notes. And right now, we're supposed to be talking about LeBron's supporting cast.
That's his brother.
Who is LeBron?
That's his brother or his cousin.
LeBron?
That's his third cousin.
That's the dude that tried to bomb New York City over there. He was from the LeBron culture. Anyway, LeBron, they lost by, what, 18 last night?
Yeah.
I watched the entire game. I'm sure y'all watched it. That was the early game. You know, we getting old. We falling asleep. But
I
watched the whole game, and I think the Celtics defense was stifling last night. I really do. And LeBron, I mean, he might be favoring that on, but I feel like once they realized the game was out of reach, he wanted to use that kind of as a crutch. And then Mo Williams didn't show up last night. I think he was about 1-for-9 from the floor. I also think it's a coaching error, too. J.J. Hickson needs he needs to get more playing time. He came in. He played pretty hard. He's always going to play hard because he's hungry, you know. What do y'all think?
I think where was Shaq at? I mean, Shaq's supposed to be his sidekick. Where was Shaq at last night? I mean, the thing about Cleveland, his teammates need to realize that LeBron, he is Superman, but guess what? Superman needs some other people to step up sometimes, too. And I think that's when you need to see Mo Williams, Delonte West, and Shaq actually. And Jameson, where was he at?
He played good.
Jameson actually played a decent game with 16 points, but you look at Shaq, 9 points, and Mo Williams, 4 points.
Yeah, that can't cut it right there.
I mean, I got 2 points last night. You couldn't get more than me. I mean, seriously.
But if you think, I mean, about the game, it was a bunch of mismatches out there. You had Jameson on Kevin Garnett. That just wasn't going to fly. They just lobbed it over the top, and Garnett had like about I can't recall, but his thing's about like 10 points off that alone. I mean, Boston is a championship team. I mean, you got to remember that KG was out last year. So basically, they gave the Lakers the championship. They didn't really have to play a formidable opponent. Boston is still a championship team. Lots of people say they're old or whatnot.
They're seasoned playoff team.
Championship team. Ray Allen's playing a high level. Paul Pierce has turned it on. You got Kevin Garnett.
Paul Pierce that season playing well. But go ahead.
Actually, the playoffs he's been playing well.
Man, I think Rasheed brushed his hair last night and put up some points.
I think Doc Rivers Doc Rivers definitely motivated him, and I think his teammates gathered around him, and they all came together, and they said, look, we're going to come out here, and we're going to put our foot on their throat this evening.
He still got that wingworm patch in his hair?
I think so. That's permanent. That's not going to go nowhere, man.
Yeah, but he's
I guess money can't buy you everything.
He is overweight right now. Yeah. He's been overweight for a
while. But he's a vegetarian, though. Aren't you a vegetarian, Ray?
How do you get overweight as a vegetarian? Isn't that like an oxymoron?
You know he drinks, you can tell.
In college, Fish, you stopped eating beef and you were still the same size.
All the carryout food. I couldn't tell you. The carryout food messed me up with meat. It was just terrible. But those are the old days. We don't want to talk about the old days.
I feel like the production manager took a shot at me just now because I pointed out, you know, that he spelled LeBron wrong. And he the one was saying nomadic and all that. You know, it is what it is, though. Everybody's not perfect. I still, like the cufflinks. I want to mention something about Antoine James, though. Regardless of you know, what the stats she say, because he shot a good percentage. If y'all notice, Cleveland made a run, and they got the lead down to 10. And he had a three that he missed wide open. And that's the type of stuff he did in Washington. He never hit the big shot. He took those dumb flip shots that used to usually go over the basket when they're, you know, coming a critical time in the game. But, I mean, it is what it is. I think Boston has a chance to put a stranglehold on that series at home. Rondo's playing great. We didn't even mention him. He's playing good. He's balling. Wally, you don't like Rondo, though.
I hate Rondo. I think that for a point guard to not have a jump shot is ridiculous.
I mean, he's just like, to me, he's a young Tony Parker.
He's good. He can play.
Tony Parker? About majority of the point guards in the NBA don't have a jumper?
Not like that, though. Not like that. I mean, you the guy who struggles from the free throw line and has to do a running floater as a jump shot.
I think he's in the upper echelon, you know, but compared to Deron Williams, Derrick Rose, and CP, they can shoot. Yeah. And I understand Wally's point, but I like that, though. And speaking of Deron Williams, over the weekend, Deron Williams and the Jazz, they played the Lakers. I was a little disappointed with the Jazz because I was rooting for the Nuggets, so I'm not going to lie, my opinion is a little biased, but I feel like they don't play as tough, I should say, against the Lakers the way they played Denver. Go ahead, what y'all think?
I think Deron Williams he's doing a good job. He's bringing a light-skinned basketball player back. But at the same time, I mean, you can just see the size factor coming to play when the Jazz play the Lakers. I mean, you can see the size factor. And also you can see that, I mean, usually the Jazz are a tough team, but if for some reason they don't really get too many calls against the Lakers. And at the same time, that aggressiveness that they normally play with, for some reason, almost disappears when they play the Lakers.
Yeah, I think it's a mental thing. Whenever they get on the court with the Lakers beat them 14 times straight. I think that mentally they're in their head. And also, you got to look.
14 times straight?
14 times straight in the playoffs.
All right, cool. Make sure.
Yeah, thank you, sir. But I think mentally they're just in their head. And second of all, they're missing some key pieces. They said that Kirilenko is 50-50 for tonight. And also, Memon Okor, he stretches the floor out. He makes that big man, brings that big man out so that Carlos Boozer can do his thing down on the low block.
Yeah, Carlos Boozer is one of the great players in the NBA.
We love you, Carlo.
But seriously, Utah is, I mean, like Ray said, against Denver, it just seemed like they played all out. The Lakers is like Millsap is not boxing out like he's boxing out against the Nuggets. They seem a little scared. And also, Deron Williams, you know, I think he's more involved than Ron Artest was checking him. Instead of just treating Ron Artest like another player, you know, and go right by him, he was too concerned about what Ron Artest was doing on defense.
Well, game two of that series is tonight, and game one of the Magic and Hawks also kicks off tonight. The Hawks eliminated Milwaukee over the weekend in a game seven that nobody cared about. It wasn't even in prime time. I think it's amazing how that game seven got so much lack of interest. Go ahead, Will, see what you think.
Hey, I mean, if you think typically of an NBA game seven, you think high drama. A lot of people really want to see the game. But with the Bucks and the Hawks, even though, you know, the Bucks do have a terrific young point guard in Brandon Jennings, and the Hawks, they do have superstars such as Joe Johnson and Al Horford. They're really, to me personally, this series to me was a total I just had no interest in the series.
You know what they should have did? They should have had like the strip clubs in Atlanta do like the halftime show to put a little more interest in that game. Cause
Magic City.
Magic City, baby.
You, baby.
That's what I thought too when we went there.
Yeah,
it was
Monday,
terrible.
Monday nights, the only. Well, I don't go to strip clubs no more. You know, it might be people from my church listening. Listen here, I don't know what they're talking about. There's nothing magic about a strip club. You know, we need to get away from that.
It's safer in a strip club than the church.
Oh, wow. All right. I'm going to change gears, man. Lord forgive him. I'm going to take Orlando in game one tonight. That's my pick for game one. And I'm going to take the Lakers to go up on a Jazz 2-0, which I think.
I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, the Hawks, they kind of struggle against Orlando a little bit this season anyway. So I don't see no reason why this game should probably end in five or six games.
You know, Dwight Howard's pretty much in the season series dominated the Hawks. So they're going to take game one. It's in home. And plus they come from a draining game seven, I guess. And then we have
draining.
Draining.
It's a game seven, so I'm giving
them draining to watch. Yeah, to watch. Exactly.
That's true. And the Lakers in Utah, I want to get Utah benefit of the doubt, but from what I saw, on game one, I think Utah's going. LA's going 2-0.
Yeah, Lamar Odom changes everything. Go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
I agree with y'all. I think that the Magic with Dwight Howard, they dominate the Hawks. This series probably goes at most five games. With the Lakers and the Jazz, I actually think that the Lakers are going to sweep the Jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
The Jazz just aren't mentally tough when it comes to the Lakers.
Man, they'll get one game in. They'll get one game in when they go back to Utah.
Well, the thing, Utah is a hostile environment to play in, but
David Stearns tell them to give them one game to keep the playoffs going.
If they had Okur, whatever his name is, they'd be okay. But I just think that, you know, still got the big man to stroke J's. I mean, they can't stretch the court, so I can see them getting swept.
I just by stroke J's, you mean knockdown jumpers?
Yeah, it is. Sorry for the slang. I'm going to stop using phonics. I apologize.
I just want to backtrack for a second because we totally disrespected the Phoenix Suns.
Oh,
we haven't even mentioned them. They played a great game last night. I fell asleep in the third quarter because we are on the East Coast. But
we didn't mention them because probably everybody here fell asleep before the game was off. That's the thing. I think that's a element that the NBA needs to address. You got a great game like that, but people on the East Coast, you know, the game isn't over till 1:30 in the morning. Most people have to get up and go to work.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not pressed to watch the Phoenix Suns and the San Antonio Spurs.
I will say this. Well, never mind. I'm not gonna say that. Go ahead, Fish. What you got to say, man?
Grant Hill is back. But nah, I mean the game.
Was the game?
Was Tamir at the game?
Yeah.
Nah, she was cooking some grits in my house. But I mean, it's a West Coast game, so the time we can't really control that as far as the West
burn
Coast.
You with them giants.
But as far as the series, I mean, you know it's gonna be a good series. I mean, Phoenix and San Antonio. I mean, San Antonio is a seasoned playoff team, so you know it's gonna be a good series. And as far as the games, I mean, we really can't control the West Coast games like that. I mean they're not going to bump the games up to no 5, 6 o'clock just to suit people on the East Coast who probably won't even root for them anyway.
I mean, we can't control the games, but what the NBA can do is they can control the days off between all of these games. I mean, it's killing me. You look at the Celtics and the Cavaliers series. And that was Tuesday night. They aren't going to play their next game until Friday. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty much. I think one thing David Stern will have to do is, as far as certain teams, he's going to have to really put certain one game in prime time. Like, if you were to put that Phoenix game, come on, say about 8 o'clock East Coast time, then it'd be more of a prime time game. People will actually stay up and watch that. Or, be honest with you, more games on a Thursday, Friday, and say a Saturday night, when most guys are, you know, out at the bar watching the game. I mean, that's prime time to watch playoffs. That's sports time. That's what he needs to try to do. But, Ray, I think you have a few words for us.
Yes, I do. And you don't always have to say my name like that. I know you're coming to me. Anyway, we got to take a quick commercial break, man. You know, our sponsors, they pressing us. You know, we got to promote everybody that we're sponsoring. Anyway, or that's sponsoring us. My bad. We coming back with Laugh Out Loud. LOL, that's our segment we like to have fun with.
Some voices are more powerful than others.
Ask not what your country can do for
one
you.
One small step for man, one.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
To your child, there is one voice that rises above all others, yours. Talking to your kids about the dangers of drugs will lower their chance of drug use by up to 50%. Get the help you need at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
804-335-0000. 0051 LOL smiley face.
Soulja Boy smiley face.
0435 LOL smiley face. LOL smiley face. She just text me, say she wanna sex me. LOL smiley face. LOL smiley face. Gotta send a tweet.
Oh man, I hate this song, but it's describing our segment coming up. This is our LOL segment, and today, you know, we got some emails we're going to read to you listeners out there, and we hope that you email us as well after this show or during the show, whatever you want to do. I picked three emails out of all the emails that we got that I found funny. I hope you guys find them just as funny as I did, but anyway, what's the email address just so they won't forget out here?
change.da.game6@gmail.com.
All right, here's the first email, and it comes from some guy, not somebody, some guy. A guy named Tim from Las Vegas said, "Urban sports scene with a question mark. Are you really a sports show? Because every time there's a commercial break, it's a commercial about diabetes, getting healthy, or some other bleep. I'm not going to curse on air. How low budget too? I watched Dr. Oz." Who in the heck is Dr. Rogers?
Tim sounds like he pays for sex anyway, so why are we even listening to him? Isn't he? He's from Vegas, right?
Because he's in Vegas?
He probably plays for... He sounds like a person that pays for
hey,
sex,
next
Tim.
Time, hey, next time we go to commercial break, we're going to play our Dr. Rogers clip, dog. Which I think we should do that, right?
Well, most definitely. Dr. Rogers is a beast. NIH.
It is what it is. Anyway, second one. A guy from Fairfax, VA, which is fairly close, so we can find you, dog, for being disrespectful. His name is Eric. He said, "Is it me? Or is Big Ben coming up with the questions to potential NFL rookies? Maybe he thought Dez Bryant's mom could do his bachelor party sometimes. You know, it's not like, it's not, y'all crazy. It's not about what you know, it's who you know." So I'm guessing he's trying to say Big Ben could ask a coworker, "Hey, you know, could your mom do a discount party for us?" What y'all think about that?
Well, I'm not going to go on Dez Bryant's mom too much because I'm a Cowboy fan, yes, but I swore his mom had a jerry curl at the little draft selection show. So, I mean, I'll hopefully at the draft selection show. It had Billy Packer and everybody. But, I mean, I swore his mom had like a jerry curl, and it was just like, oh, man. I know they ain't still got them in Texas, but.
Real quick, though. He said, P.S., race has nothing to do with the questions. He wouldn't ask Kimbo Slice that question if he was a potential prospect. And I agree. I wouldn't ask Kimbo if his mother was
there. I agree with you. I wouldn't ask Kimbo either. I mean, the fact that the goal that he had to ask that question to me, that's unheard of to ask someone, is your mom a prostitute? I mean, what benefit does that serve to you to know if that man's mother was a prostitute?
Maybe he got
to
get his pimping game on. I mean, who knows what Jeff Ireland does? He is in Miami.
Hey,
South Beach.
The same emailer did say, "Please, though, don't talk about Big Ben too much, because if I have to hear Will T say the word allegedly one more time, I'm going to scream." But go ahead, say it for
me. What
do
you mean, allegedly?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
If he didn't want us to talk about him too much, you need to stop calling him Big Ben like he's a porn star then.
That's his nickname, man. All right, last email, man. This is from a dude. Oh, Will, you going to like this. His name is Omar. He's from Philly. He said, "Did y'all see Paul Blart tase that dude last night on the baseball field?"
Yeah, I saw that. I think...
Typical white thing. Typical white thing for them to run onto a field and just
he
act like it's normal.
He called his dad beforehand.
Another typical white thing.
You saw Paul Blart. He couldn't catch him, though.
You left me speechless, bitch.
Paul Blart couldn't catch him.
I mean, I think it's a bit excessive for him to taser the young boy? Yes, I do. But at the same time, something was needed. That can serve as an example to people going forward in the future.
Isn't that what they do in Philly? Y'all threw snowballs at Santa Claus. Yeah. Y'all beat up everyone's mascot in football. I mean, y'all had a judge at y'all stadium back in the day. I mean, isn't that what y'all do to fans and people in general?
First of all, let's get it straight. I'm born and raised in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. So, first of all, you can't necessarily associate me with the crazed Eagles, Phillies, and 76ers fans.
30 seconds ago, you just said young boy. So you got some type of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey in you somewhere. So you just said young boy. But, I mean, he got what he got. Don't go on no field. You messing up the game. He should have tackled him. They should have jumped him. That's what they need more anyway.
Well, they couldn't catch him. Paul Blart was chasing him. He couldn't catch him. I don't know why he wasn't at Franklin Mills or King of Prussia Mall, wherever he should have been at, but that was ridiculous. And Chief Ramsey, who we know of, you know, he was the D.C. Police chief.
Yeah, he became famous because of the sniper. Yeah.
He did. That was Chief Moose of M.O. County.
You got the wrong person. Where was you at during that time?
Hey, my bad.
Anyway, where was I? Where was I?
That's y'all, why this is a sports show and not a social show.
Oh, is it? According to the email, it's a health show. Diabetes. Please, eat healthy. Anyway, look, we got to take one more commercial break. When we come back, we having real talk, dog, because we keep it real here.
Recently, I told you about clinical trials and why they're important to your health. Today, I have a good example to share. Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you Healthy Moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. Our institute, known as NIDDK, supported a clinical trial of over 1,000 African Americans with kidney disease and high blood pressure. One of the findings was that a drug called an ACE inhibitor actually slows kidney disease that's caused by high blood pressure. This finding is important because for the first time a specific treatment was identified for reducing the risk of progression to kidney failure. NIDDK communicates this kidney disease research to the public in reader-friendly brochures such as What African Americans Need to Know. To read this brochure or get more information, visit our website at NIDDK or MyMagicDC.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more Healthy Moments.
I never let you down. I'ma shine on sight. Keep your mind on your grind and off of mine's all right. Right hard, I'm a ball, don't know squares. I float a $250,000 cars everywhere I go. I know in the lead it may seem me might be, but no matter what they doing, they don't do it like me. Like a G, I hold it down for the town.
Alright, and we're back. And I had another email I wanted to mention real quick. Somebody emailed, do you guys actually have a script, or do y'all just quote unquote wing it? And I read that last week, man. I thought, you know what, we do wing it, cause after every commercial break we have wings right here on set, dog. KFC, Buffalo Wild Wings, dog. And it's
don't forget
frustrating
the Murray's, Jones.
As a vegetarian, I'm frustrated with all this. You know, oh yeah, Olo Pollo. You know, shout out to them folks out in Arizona, man. We feel your struggle. But anyway, this is the segment Real Talk, where, you know, we get serious here. We like to talk about sports. We like to have a good time. But tonight we have Fish, who last week wasn't here, and to make up for that performance, he's going to head out this segment of Real Talk. Go ahead, Cuz.
Well, this segment of Real Talk is where we like to blend the social aspects and sports.
They already know what Real Talk is about, man. Talk about this issue, please.
Go ahead, man. Next issue you're going to know real well. But the real talk for this week is dealing with, do athletes deserve the same privacy of social life as everyday people? Me, personally, I think, you know, they're not an athlete first, they're a person first. I mean, one particular thing is the Dez Bryant situation with his mother being called a prostitute. Me personally, I think that Jeff Ireland had the right to call her that, but at the same time, the way he used it as far as interviewing him was the wrong way to do it. Me personally, if he wants more information about his mom, he needs to do that in a different way. He needs to go out and get his investigators, go do a background check. But at the same time, he does deserve to need to know what's he getting his money into with this player.
I agree with you, Fish, that, you know, anytime you're about to pay someone millions of dollars, the company that they keep is important. But at the same time, I do think that some of the media and news outlets went a little bit too far. Like this morning, there was a story posted in regards to Dez Bryant's mom. Now, evidently, you know, it's still a hot issue, but it was over a week old. It was a week old, and a sports outlet went and reported that actually his mom was arrested, I think 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was 2009 for distributing, and she got like 10 years probation off that.
Yeah, so I mean, what's the purpose of, if we're really trying to let this issue die down, what's the purpose of bringing it back into the spotlight? Dez Bryant, just like his mom, just like everyone else, has made mistakes before. The difference is that he's a high class athlete that's very visible in the public eye. But does that mean that his business should be put out there any more than a regular person?
I don't want to really cut you off, but the thing about Dez Bryant is that, are we talking about situation that Dez Bryant got into, or we talking about situation that his mom got into. As a person, you really can't choose your parents and what they do. You can only deal with the situation you find yourself in. Dez Bryant, he ain't got no DUIs. He doesn't have any type of drug history, any type of criminal activity. So it's basically that he's getting guilty by association. And as far as the situation that his upbringing was, that was a situation he found himself in. And as far as his mom selling drugs, I mean, that's the situation his mom chose. That's not the situation Dez Bryant chose. I feel they keep dragging him through the mud as far as, like, he was the one out there cooking it and baking it and serving it up when Dez Bryant wasn't. I mean, one thing they do miss out as far as talking about Dez Bryant is he was an academic All-American. But they never bring that up. All you hear about him is he was late. He's 20 years old. I don't know a 20-year-old that's never late anyway. So, I mean, the situation they keep talking about as far as the prostitute and everything dealing with him, I mean, it's almost time to really to move on. Find the next thing to talk about in sports.
I agree.
As far as the privacy issue, I mean, just in general for athletes, you would think that they would deserve more. I mean, we see Lamar Odom, everything he does with his chubby wife. I mean, seriously, I mean, are you an athlete or are you a person first? If I was an athlete, I mean, yeah, I get paid a lot of money, whatever, but at the same time, I still have to go grocery shopping. I don't want someone in my face. I mean, do you have to be a role model because you're an athlete?
I mean, no, you don't have to be a role model. I think any parent that tells their children that athletes are their role model, they have very poor parenting skills. Me myself being a parent, I never tell my son that an athlete who he doesn't know that has no connection with him personally, that's who you should look up to, that's who you should strive to be. No, these people just have flaws just like us all. Speaking of flaws, this brings us to our second topic of real talk, which is the immigration laws in Arizona. How this affect MLB. What do you think about that, Fish?
Well, I think that as far as what they're doing in Arizona, it's like it's just blatant racism. Because what they're doing with people in Arizona, especially people of Latin descent, I don't see them up near Canada racial profiling Canadians when they come across the border. So, I mean, it's obvious racism. And from Arizona, I mean, they have a history of this anyway. I mean, they just got like Martin Luther King Day like last week. So it's not like it should never come as a shock when you talk about that state. And as far as the situation they're putting themselves in, I mean, I'm pretty sure if Major League Baseball wanted to move the All-Star game, which is in Arizona when?
Next year.
If Major League Baseball moves that All-Star game, I'm pretty sure the people of Arizona are going to be really upset at all that lost money that should be coming in their way.
But do you think that I know that there's a precedent has been set. The NFL, they stepped to the front. They said, well, there wouldn't be any Super Bowls until you acknowledge and celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. Do you think that MLB should step to the forefront and say, listen, we're not going to have the All-Star game here? And do you think that any of the other sports and the other sports organizations such as the NBA, NHL should say, look, because of this law, the way this law discriminates against immigrants that and racially profiles them, that they should withdraw their big events out of the state of Phoenix?
Well, for baseball, I mean, it's a Latin. It's got a big Latin population. So it affects them more than anybody. And you have your best players are Latin descent. I mean, if you look around the board, you have Hanley Ramirez, who plays for the Florida Marlins. You have Albert Pujols, who's the best baseball player in baseball. If you're going to disrespect their culture and in terms of racially profiling, and you have an All-Star game in Arizona, I don't expect them to show up. They're doing the right thing. And for people out there discussing and saying that, well, we shouldn't bring politics into sports, well, maybe you might be not part of that kind of culture. You might be the former majority or whatnot. But in this regard, I mean, your people are being discriminated in a state that's doing it by themselves, basically stating that, you know, if we feel that a Spanish person, we see a Spanish person, we're going to pull them over and check their papers or whatnot. Off that alone, I wouldn't want to play that. And matter of fact, baseball should go even bigger and take spring training out of Arizona, because you have to back your players. You have to. And I think they would do the Latin players a big injustice by not doing that.
I have a thought real quick, and then I might have a closing thought as well, but I want you guys to chime in on this. Jump in at any point. I have a question to ask. on the fringe of Cinco de Mayo, let's say coming up, somebody decides to go out and get some Coronas or whatever, you know, that's kind of profiling right there. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. They get a bunch of drinks in them. They go, you know, for a ride, and one of your family members is out, and they're seriously injured or actually killed, or anyone close to you, doesn't have to be a family member. After the accident, you find out this person was illegal. Would you support this bill then, or would you still keep the same stance? And this is a fairly liberal show for those of y'all who are, you know, well, listening, so that kind of, you know, factors into the angle we're coming
at. Well, in America, this country is built on immigrants, so... I mean, everybody here has.
This is coming from an immigrant.
Exactly. My parents are from Nigeria. I was born here. So yeah, this touches home for me. I think that, you know, a lot of times, especially for Spanish people take advantage of them anyway. They don't.
What if that happened to you though? What if that happened?
Obviously, I'd be upset, but I won't blame the law over it. I won't blame the law over it because you have dirty people everywhere that do that. I mean, prime example, Dante Stallworth ran somebody over, so should he be exiled from the United States because he ran that kid over?
He's here illegally.
But who cares? He's still doing dirt.
Evidently, we do. It's an issue, right?
Yeah, he's doing dirt.
I mean,
I think there is a difference,
but at the end of the day, a crime being committed is a crime being committed. Whether it's someone that's a naturalized U.S. citizen, an illegal immigrant, or a legal immigrant. I just think this law that they're passing into effect racially profiles people, and I think that's against everyone's constitutional right, because where does it stop then?
Well, Mexico has strong... immigration laws. You know, we can't just sneak into Mexico. So I mean, why can't the same go for you? I don't think they went about it, speaking of the, you know, the conservatives, the right way necessarily. And I don't like the fact that, you know, there's people who are legal U.S. citizens that are being checked. I don't agree with everything. But at the same time, something needs to be done. It's not just Arizona. It's in Florida, Texas. It's not just an Arizona problem. And race factors in, like you said earlier, Fish. It's a big part of what we're talking about. Y'all got any other further thoughts on that?
Well, as far as what you made, as far as the comment, I mean, I agree with Willis said. A crime is a crime. No matter who commits it, at the end of the day, it's a crime. No matter how you see it, I mean, no matter how it's played out, it's a crime. But as far as, I mean, for any person to say race doesn't play a role in this issue, I mean, you obviously have never been in the United States. And as far as racial profiling, I mean, it's not just a black thing. It's not a brown thing. It's an every minority thing. It's not just, I mean, and when I say minority, we talking gays, Jewish, even poor white people. It's not just about one group in general. Racial profiling is more than just one group.
All right, fellas. Now that's real talk. Hey, man, thanks for joining us this week. And my closing thoughts on that is money makes the world go round. There's Brian getting paid millions. Get over that question. Mexicans work for dirt cheap and Republicans hire them, man. It's all about money. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.